Well, I'm glad to hear that Brother Taylor took Lewis some books. We, Brother Paz and myself and Joe, we were up there visiting with him while we were up at the Lexus place. And I talked to him about the Lord, and he received it. When we got ready to leave, the hailstorm was over. It's a terrible hailstorm and real significant, it appeared. And he came out to the car where the three of us was and rolled the window down, and he said it was time for him to leave and close the gates. And he said, y'all just won me over. So that's all it is to it. And can't remember exactly the words he used, but Brother Taylor, he took a little father up. He had some business to take care of there today and almost come home in a Lexus. I told him, he went up, Brother Lewis, he's a salesman. And sounds good that he was rejoicing over his books. So wonderful. Brother Paz, and he went up there with, on the way up there, I pretty well knew what was going to happen when he met Lewis. He had done, let us know he wasn't going to buy, but he'd come home in a Lexus. Louis, he is really a fella, I'm telling you. Well, let's sing a little chorus. And let us enter these gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Enter into the courts with praise. Let us say this is the day the Lord hath made. Want to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Want to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I want to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. You love the Lord? Let's sing one more little chorus, Brother Taylor. You know, we come here for the purpose of growing in the grace of God. And I like to grow in the grace of God, and I know that you like to grow in the grace of God. But that isn't all there is to it. We come here to grow in the knowledge of God. Now, a lot of people, as to the latter part there, they don't place much emphasis or value on that. They don't make too much attempt to really grow in the knowledge of God. All down through the years in serving Christ, I've always tried to grow in the knowledge of God because it's rich to me and it's wonderful. Faith cometh by the hearing of the knowledge of God. And that is the word of the Lord. So I've always loved the word of the Lord. The Bible said to meditate in his laws day and night and bring every thought into subjection to that word. And to have your faith perfected in Christ, then you need to have the knowledge of God. As a matter of fact, you need to keep a real clean, pure heart. Let's sing one more chorus together. A little chorus we sing so much. He was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquity. Surely he hath borne all our sorrows forever. By his stripes we are healed once again now.
He was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquity. Surely he has borne all your sorrows forever, and by his stripes you are healed.
Be seated. Well, we're here tonight to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And you know, people who don't follow the things of God as to understanding don't really know what's happening. They don't really understand what's taking place. But great things are taking place. You know, I say that so often to you, that great things are taking place. You can turn over in Matthew's to the 5th chapter, the 5th verse, or the 8th verse it is. 5th chapter, the 8th verse. So, when I say that great things are happening, people, they say, well, you know, I know great things is happening. I know we're living just before the coming of the Lord, and I understand great things is happening. But do you really know that great things are happening? Do you know? Someone would say, well, sure, I know, Brother Pike. Then if I came to you and I said, in that you know, would you tell me what's happening? Then what would you tell me? Or what would you say? Because if you say that you know that great things are happening, then the question arises is, what do you know? If you don't know to tell me as to what's happening, then that means you don't know what's happening. So I say again, great things are taking place. Great things. And when I say that, that would sound like I'm exaggerating, because I say those things with a regularity. And someone would say, well, you know, you said that before, and we know that great things is happening, but now, you know, what about now? You just said that so much, the great things has happened. But that is the way it is. Great things are happening. Great things are happening, like as of yesterday, and today, greater things is happening. And tomorrow, greater things. And the next day, greater things. So then, someone would say, well, you don't really know that. Yeah, I know that. I know that. That's why I'm telling you that, is because I know that. Someone would say, well, how do you know? Well, that's the answer that I had on my mind tonight when I noticed something on Sister Betty's desk on the little calendar. With a regularity, she has little scriptures that come up. And I like to read them, or I like to find out what they say. So I do that. And tonight, I was searching. I thought, now, I'd like to say something to the people tonight as to something specific now. Lord, how about just telling me? And I happened to walk in there when we come back from riding off. Had been over visiting with Susie and the children and went out to get a little fish. And Susie, she's recovering real well from her operation. And I noticed it was the 5th chapter and the 8th verse, and it said, the pure in heart shall see God. And I think on that scripture a lot of times. The pure in heart shall see God. And this is the thing that I was thinking on today. But anyway, the pure in heart shall see God. And then my mind goes back to the people here at Bethlehem and to the people around the different parts of the world that we personally are acquainted with. And it goes kind of pro and con as to these people in my thoughts. And I think, well, Lord, why is it, or I have in the past thought, Lord, why is it that more people don't talk about Revelation? And then, of course, the answer is that not a lot of people have Revelation when it comes to really getting into Revelation. And not a lot of people have the spirit of Revelation. One spirit, many operations. God is a spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth, because the woman, being naturally minded, a Samaritan, she said, you know, our fathers gave us this mountain to worship in. Or I could say, you know, I'm Baptist, and you say I'm Methodist, and others say, well, I'm Pentecostal, and on and on and on. See, we have our church over here, and we worship with this people, and we go to church over here. But does that really mean anything? See, does that really mean anything because you go to church at Bethlehem, or because you belong to the Baptist church, or because you belong to the Methodist church, or because you belong to a religious body of people called the Charismatics, or whatever it might be, the Catholics? Does that really mean anything? No, it doesn't. It doesn't say the Baptists, nor the Methodists, nor the Church of Science, nor the Pentecostals or the Mormons or Jehovah Witnesses. And if we could go on and go on of the Pentecostals, whether it be as to what they call the Jesus name people, or whether it be Church of God people, or whether it be any Pentecostal group or any other group in the world, it doesn't mean anything when you say that you belong to those churches, or that one church is better than another, or if you belong to this group, then this is the right group. Neither does it mean anything if you are a great Bible scholar, or if you've been to college, or if you give, or even if you pray, or if you fast. People have done that all down through the years, especially the Jews, said, why is it that we fast and we pray, and you take no notice? See, so it doesn't have anything to do with that. It doesn't say if you belong to the Methodist, the Baptist, the Catholic, or if you do good alms deeds or whatever. It doesn't say that you shall see God. It says that the pure in heart shall see God. And the Bible said that God purifies your heart with faith. And the Bible says that God imputes faith unto you for righteousness, and faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And the Bible said, show me your faith without your works or efforts toward fulfilling that word and incorporating that word in your lifestyle. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Or that is, whatever a child does, he's known by his doings. And so then God purifying our hearts by faith, in that when we believe in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf, as to that he's done for you and I, then when we believe in that, then with our faith we offer that to him, and then he in return gives us his faith. Paul turned my people from darkness, intellectual ignorance, unto light, which is godly understanding in Christ Jesus. The faith by which they are sanctified. So believing with my heart unto righteousness, that faith purifies my heart, and then the Spirit of Christ comes into my heart. And the Bible said, when the Spirit of Christ comes into my heart, then the Holy Ghost sheds abroad in my heart the love of God. So then, love is as strong as death. It fights against the condemnation that brings me into the bondage of the beggarly elements of the world by means of the law. Whereas the curse comes by the law, sin comes by the law, because the sin is transgression of the law. And the only way to fulfill the law, to have a pure heart, is through love. God is love. He's the Spirit of Christ that fulfilled every jot and tittle in the body of Jesus Christ, hung that body up as that sinful body that Paul spoke of, the bastard child image, or that beast that was born as concerning Adam when the evil spirit of Lucifer entered into it, making a generation of vipers and bringing forth sons of the devil. See, in this, Christ coming into our heart, having killed that serpent, coming as that man Adam, to hang that body on Calvary because it had become sinful and evil by taking Lucifer into it. So Jesus came in the form of a servant. And he came as that first man Adam in the form of sin and in the image of sin, that he might take that sinful image to Calvary, and that the Christ on the inside might put it on like a garment, hang it up at Calvary, and then as God Almighty smite it till the countenance was marred more than any man. And that when he smote it, just before the smiting, that the sun should become as dark as sackcloth of hair, showing the forsaking of that human body. And the forsaking of it was the Christ that pulled away from that image that was made sin, in that Jesus really knew no sin, but he was made our sin that we might be made his righteous resurrected body as he came forth from the grave in a new image or in a new form. That is to say, not the form of a servant as unto Calvary and death, having been delivered for our offenses, having been made our sins, and God smiting that body, there he withdrew from the body of Jesus. And the body cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he had to forsake him to keep from forsaking me. And he transferred that righteousness of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit into my heart, because that Christ Spirit that was in the tabernacle of Jesus, God saying, my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell, hear ye him. And this wonderful dove-like spirit, leaving that tabernacle that Peter spoke of, coming into my heart, it was the righteousness of God which was in the body. And so then when it came to me, it forsook his body. And thus my sins was transferred to him, in that he came in the image and the form of the servant, which was Adam the fallen one, or that is, we're all born of Adam, and in Adam we all die, because the blood seed of life was contaminated by Lucifer entering in through the fall, or the deception of the flesh, as Adam's flesh and bone, his wife, entered into Adam through that flesh and bone by diverting the attention of the wife from Adam, who was blameless and not in the transgression, being a figure of him, that is Christ Jesus, who was to come, while he was in the garden, in that he was illuminated with the righteousness of God, even Christ, the image in which he was made, that Shekinah priesthood that was from the foundation of the world, when God said, come and let us make man in our own image. Or that is to say, Jesus Christ being the beginning of the creation of God, the express image of God, that one day God would come in that image to rule in that wonderful resurrected image. And when he come, he would be the head of the tribe. He would be our God in personification. In that we are men, then we needed the form of a man to worship. And so then when he came, he killed this Adam. He smote the head of that serpent, which was Adam. In that Satan came into the beast, and from that into Eve, and from that into Adam, and the Shekinah withdrew as the glory and righteousness of God. And that's why the prophet said later in the prophetical utterance, he said, you cover with a covering, but it's not of me. That is, you cover with an intellectual knowledge or an intellectual darkness from a mind. It is a darkness that covereth your soul. And you cover with this, and this has made you a beast. So he put them on skins. When John came, he came as the man with the axe. God calls Israel his battle axe. He came and he laid the axe to the root of the tree. And he cut down everything all the way from Calvary back to the garden. That is, he cut down that family tree of Adam as to the bastard children of the reproduction of the fallen ones, or the serpent that had left a crooked trail as coming. You can see it in the wilderness. And as when he came, it came down to Calvary. When it got as far as Calvary, then that meant that was the end of the trail of the serpent as to you and to I. And when it got down to that, the trail of the serpent comes all the way from the garden as to the fall and comes all the way down to Calvary, Lucifer inside of Adam's body. And then the Christ came in the form of a servant as the serpent that was hung up in the wilderness, being as it was in Moses' day when they looked upon the serpent, the brazen serpent. Then there was nothing that could penetrate that, and they were healed, because we are that which has passed through the fire, the garment that has passed through the fire. Jesus was that. We're members in particular. Give me the garment that's been tried in the fire. Tried as if before, the Bible says. So when we look at this, then we know that John cut down that family tree, which was the tree of knowledge, all the way back. The tree went down. And then came Jesus, the tree of life, Christ. Because the two trees in the garden was Lucifer and angel that had reflected Christ, who was God, and the Shekinah, and was exceedingly bright, called the Son of the Morning, until iniquity was found, in the sense that he said within his heart, I will lift myself up. I will become like the Most High God. I will exalt my throne above the stars, deceiving a third part of the angels because of his beauty, and was covered with that great light, which showed Adam as to be the body of that Lucifer spirit, in that Adam was in the garden and was in the presence of the tree of life, and Eve was there and forsook that as the body of Adam as to the dividing asunder, and took on the knowledge as to the tree of knowledge. So Lucifer entered into her as to death. And then it was not effective until she deceived Adam, or Satan working through the beast, through Eve, to Adam. And then when Adam partook of the forbidden fruit, immediately from that moment, the Shekinah glory lifted. So Adam had proved to be a reflector. He had reflected the glory of God like Lucifer, and he was made to be the body of Lucifer, and he fell. And he was no longer the image of him that was to come, the great illuminated one, in that he was a reflector, and he reflected this glory. And when this glory withdrew, he had no garden. He was not in the heavenly places. He could not see the spiritual trees. He could not see God anymore. For the Bible said, the pure in heart shall see God. Adam was not in the transgression. He was made pure, and he could fellowship God. But when he fell from the garden, he could not see God anymore. When he sinned, everything went out and he was hid from the presence of God. And God came looking for him, but not being able to look on iniquity, the iniquity or the veil of intellectual death as to carnality or the carnal mind, the intellectual reasoning to be intellectual, to be carnal minded, that is to have the desire of natural things or carnal things, or the interest as to the love of the world, then the love of the Father. As to spiritual things, which is heaven, is not in you. You are thus motivated by Lucifer, and you have a desire to the flesh, for he savors the things that be of the flesh and the things that be of the world. And if the love of the world's in there, then the love of the world is going to cause you to be separated from God. So then, when this happened, as you know, they put on fig leaves because they said, we are naked. And the Lord said, who told you that you were naked? Because they were not naked in each other's sight, nor in God's sight, because they were illuminated with a spiritual covering as to the covering of righteousness, which was the illumination. But when the covering left, as to the illumination, then he showed up as a reflector. They had to have a covering because they had that guilty feeling on the inside. That guilty feeling from the curse, having transgressed the laws of God when he said, thou shalt not. And now the sentence of death was within the body, because Lucifer had stole the wife, which was the body, which represented humanity, which is the feminine part, and Eve showing the body as to humanity, Adam showing the Shekinah as to the masculine, which was the spirit of Christ. Then the spirit of Christ withdrew because darkness and light hath no fellowship. And now the dispute is over the body as Christ, disputing over the body, which is the woman, the feminine part, and Lucifer disputing in saying she is mine for reproduction, seeking a body that he might get out of the dark places, having become the ruler or that of darkness because the Shekinah light had withdrew and had to have a body, and the Lord allowed that body as to Adam, him being reflected to show in the natural Lucifer as the son of the morning or as the beginning of the creation of God, as you and I would say, or the first son in the morning, or being born as in the morning, or that is not born but created from the dust. Whereas Jesus said to the disciples and to the others, from the dust thou art, that is from Adam, and to the dust thou shalt return. You are of the world. I'm not of the world. I came from heaven. That is, I'm of the spirit. I am the second man, Adam. I am inwardly the Christ that will change this body from the servant to arising for your justification as to triumph over death, to show that death is defeated and the sentence of death is not in the body anymore, and to make you by the works of Calvary, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and in the sight of God so ye are. And now your spirit is taken from that body of evil, and that body is dead but Calvary, buried in a water grave, and in that you're planted with him in the likeness of death. Now have you risen in baptism, you have come forth, having put on Christ by being baptized into his death. You have thus been resurrected with Christ, and now as Jesus was as to the head of the membership, ye are of the membership, and you're resurrected, and as he was up in heaven, so are you now in heaven. And God does not charge your trespasses against you because the body cannot sin of itself. The body sleeps without the spirit as to a Christian. It is dead without the spirit as the worldly terms. So indeed it is dead even while you live because it is without Christ. You're dead in trespasses and sin because you transgress the laws of God. So then you have the sentence of death in you, but we do not have the sentence of death in us because we are resurrected from the dead. We're now numbered with him. Our body is dead and gone as to the old body of Adam. And now the new body in the new form, which means not in the form of a sinful image, but in the pureness of that which Adam was, as to the restoration before Adam ever failed. So Jesus in all reality is the beginning of the creation of God. And this is why that Jesus, when he talked to the Jews, and he said, ye are not of God. If you was of God, you would love me. I come from God. They said, we be not children of fornication. We are Abraham's children. He said, Abraham saw my day. He rejoiced to see my day and was glad. And he did. He saw it under the oak of Mamre back in the Old Testament when Jesus came there. And with those two angels, like the covering cherubs, that are always there. He saw these, and when these went down into Sodom and Gomorrah, while he remained at Abraham's tent. So then he saw his day, and they said, well, you're not yet 50 years old, and you say that you've seen Abraham? And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. As he said to Moses, tell him I am has sent you. And so then when Jesus came, he fulfilled that. They said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And wherever he went, it was, I am the truth, I am the life. So I said that to say this, that it is a true fact, there is another image, and we are that image. And we do not have to sleep. It's not necessary for Christians to sleep. Ye are gods, but ye shall sleep, die like men. So you are gods, but because of the lack of the knowledge of God, of knowing who you are and what you are, then your faith is not perfected. And so then the ministry is sent for the perfecting of your faith, because your righteousness as to purity of heart is when he imparts unto you your faith for righteousness, purifying your heart by faith. So then we know that we are now the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In baptism, we have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And going by death and into baptism, it was as Jesus went down into death and went down into the flames of hell and then come back up on the other side. Even the sign that was given as to the Jews when they said, show us a sign and we'll believe. And he said, there will be no sign to you. Because he was doing all kinds of things and they were blind and could not see that light. Lucifer, the god of this world, had blinded their eyes that they could not see when good cometh. And so then he said, the only sign that you'll have is Jonah, who was in the belly of the whale 3 days and night. And there Jonah said, I went down to the bottom of the deep and the seaweeds wrapped about my head, speaking of that was around the whale. And he said, I was in the belly of hell. So, and a lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, that couldn't be. I don't believe that. A man in the belly of a whale, and then he comes up, he spit out, and then he lives. But they have recently, according to the report, found a man that was in the belly of a great fish and had turned white as to the pigment, leaving him, had been in there a number of days. But when they got him out, he was still alive. I guess God let that happen to prove to these theologians and this science falsely so called that all things are possible with God. So then we realize that through the resurrection, it changed our course of life, because the sign of the resurrection was Jonah, and he was supposed to go to one place, he went to another. He would not do what God told him. As to when we say going as to Nineveh and we decide that we won't go to Tarshish, or vice versa, to whatever we would do, then we find that if we are of God, God changes our course. But our course, as we would say, brings Calvary. It brings the little ship. It brings the storm. It brings the raging until we are cast out as to death. And then down, down, down into the deep as to the water baptism, signifying this, as to our death being passed by that. And then as Jonah resurrected on the other side with a different course to go do what we were told to do or born to do. So we realize that in this, that we are a new creature. We are bone of his bone and we are flesh of his flesh. And I wish that we had time tonight to really talk about this, as I say so often, because it takes a lot of talking. So I'm just skipping about, as I was talking to a brother today, the same way I did to him, over some things. It's just a tiny, tiny little fragment in that great is the mystery of godliness. And I was explaining to that brother today why I cannot really preach the revelation here other than little fragments when I catch an interest. So then, not being able to detail it, we are trying to follow a little course tonight as to one thing to bring it to a certain place to make you to understand. We are now the resurrected image of God, and in that he was caught up as Jesus and ascended up into heaven, so has our life, our spirit, been translated into the Christ spirit, in that the kingdom of God came at Calvary. Now our spirit has left the body. We're not in the flesh. So then we're not in the world, because the body is in the world. It's dead, but Calvary, it's buried. The new one that has come up is now the quickening spirit, the members of the second man, Adam. And we now dwell in the presence of the Father, even as Adam did. Our eyes are open. We now can see God. We're pure in heart, and we're now dwelling in the spirit, which is heaven. So then all thoughts of the earthly mind is gone, which is the world and the love of the world, which is Lucifer, as to that son of the morning. And now we are the body of the members of the beginning of the creation of God, even Jesus Christ, which was the head that at Calvary, as to the birth and the head, opening the Libyus. Then as the Libyus came open, as to the rending of the veil of as Mother Earth. And so it was that from there, Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead, went to sit at the right hand of the Father. And as to these physicians down through the church ages, the seven messengers, they delivered the child all the way down. It was said, heal thyself, physician. And they delivered the child, in that the travail is to the mother, as to the force and effort. And then the physicians, as to the child, and then it is delivered down at the end of the church ages. And once it's at the end of the church ages, then we see the door open in heaven that Peter opened when he said, "Thou art the Christ," not knowing him after the flesh, looking beyond that, and Peter had rent the veil. And the Lord was separated from the Christ in that he had made in himself twain. And in doing that, to put off the body, that your body might be dead, and the Lord might despise that image and that membership and kill it out, as from Calvary, the old tree, the family tree of knowledge, all the way back to the tree, to Adam and to the beast through which Satan worked to bring forth Cain and to bring forth Adam, or get into Adam and start the generation of vipers that is on their belly, and that all of their labor is for their belly and their mouth, because their belly craves it of them. So as to the dust, from the dust thou art, and to the serpent, to the dust thou shalt return. Having been a reflector, there it was cast out. Not that God wanted to cast Adam out, nor to cast out Eve. He'd already slain a lamb from the foundation of the world in his foreknowledge, knowing that this was going to happen, foreseeing, and elected us unto grace, in that we were still in our sins, he saved us by the foreknowledge. And it came to pass that before we ever called, he heard us. The prophet said, "Before you ever call, he shall hear you." And he secured us, wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life, which book was open at the rending of the veil, which was at Calvary. And Jesus said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will," or the Word being made flesh. And with this rent veil, as to the opening, our body is now dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus, our spirit rent from that veil, going back to heaven, to the place of God. The spirit goeth back to God at death. The soul goeth into hell if it's not right with God, and the body goes into the grave. Many things could be said about that. Hours of revelation. If you just pray, God would give you the spirit of revelation to hunger and thirst after the wonderful, wonderful things of Almighty God. So we are they that live in heaven. We are they that see that in heaven. And as Adam was made a quickening spirit, that headship broke through the spheres and that birth and travail, as to showing that body on Calvary, which was the woman, as to the Jewish part, and that Jesus was on that side of Calvary as the Jew, salvation of the Jew. And so then it showed that in the last 7 years of the tribulation, when the 7 years joins itself to the 483 to finish the 490 as to Daniel's prophecy, as to earthly perspective, then the door that Peter opened will close. John saw it open in heaven and immediately caught up as a symbol of the church, having received the revelation from Christ or Paul, who was in the midst of the candlesticks, as to the seven churches of Paul and the seven church age messengers, that it was Paul in the beginning, and yet Paul killed out. Then he says, "Not me, leave him at Christ." As to the Gentiles, even as Jesus was unto the Jew, shown as Peter, gospel to the Jew, Paul as to the gospel to the Gentile, or that is the revelation to the church. Because when Jesus was preaching, they said, "Why do you speak to these people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say?" He said, "It's not given to them." So all things is done through the intellectual concept of the mind, as God veiling himself in darkness, even the form of a servant, as to the veil, until the veil should be rent. Even the veil that was over Moses' face, when the Jews could not steadfastly look to that which is abolished, or that which is taken away, which means the Shekinah light in Moses' face, when he had to put a veil over it to show that the fall of Adam, as to the first man Adam, shown by Moses, that the veil was the intellectual darkness of Lucifer that come over their spirit, and it was taking their life into captivity, or hiding the light, which is the candle of the Lord on the inside, and the covering of their soul was the intellectual reasoning. So when Jesus came, he rent that veil in two. And the Bible says that we're now not looking through a glass darkly, in that Moses saw behind the part from Calvary back. We, as those with open face, are looking into a mirror, and we are seeing that as to Christ Jesus, and we are changed from glory to glory into his wonderful likeness, or from glory to glory inside to the ultimatum of that diplomacy of change, which is the adoptions, as when the Jews come in Maya, which we could talk about. But anyway, with that,
Didn't we see the rent veil of Moses the prophet likened to, and Elijah, that is to say John the Baptist, and the severing asunder? And there it is, Elijah as with John the Baptist, and the Christ as with the church ages. And when Elijah comes back as to John having lost his head, then there came a new head, which was Jesus, and they rejected it. And we brought this out, takes so much detail that it makes me so sorrowful in my heart and grieves me so, because I don't have time to get into it. It takes at least an hour or two, which you could never bear with that. It'd have to be a miracle. Once in a great while, we take the liberty and press on anyway, and the Lord brings you into the Spirit enough to get a part of Revelation. So we know that Paul received the revelation as to the change. We stood Peter to his face to show the rending, and that Paul said, I am Christ, the spiritual one. And Peter, as to the Jews, it was showing that on that side of Elijah as going back to the natural. And with that, the Jesus part, the dividing asunder. And then we see that when Moses, the prophet likened to, that is to fold it up and laid away. Then we see that as to the Christ, showing the carrying over as to the Christ. Here it is body and spirit, Moses and Elijah. But when it comes to the natural, it is the Jews going out of the presence of God, them rejecting their head, they died. And then them going around as to the woman part, the body part, for the purification to show that as to the burial, the resurrection, going through the Holocaust and all these things, coming up in the end time in the tribulation. And then Jesus, the natural part, returning after Moses and Elijah has done their work. Because they come back together as to the seven in the first part of the tribulation to the 483 as to the closing of that door after John is caught up and the seals are to be opened. And for the first 3.5 years of that tribulation, there is Elijah right at the end of it. And then when the 483, where the Moses was, comes to the seven at the beginning, then all of a sudden it is Moses and Elijah. The veil is not rent anymore. So Jesus returns as the head. And then when they who have rejected their head, they turn to the Lord Jesus, and thus they are made the head of the nation, and the curse is lifted. As it was said in Deuteronomy 28th chapter, choose ye this day whom you will serve as to the blessing and the curse. Well, anyway, when this comes down to Calvary, then the axe is laid to the root of the tree, getting back to the original thought here. And when it is cut down, it is the end of the serpent. It is the death of the serpent. The light went out. The light went out. Smite the head in the evening time, the tail dies, the third part of the stars pulled down from heaven. It showed the evening time, because the smiting of the head was the expulsion in the garden, from the garden to the dust, out of the presence of God. And the ultimatum of that came at Calvary, because it showed a different thing as to a different dimension, and the whole thing starting over. As to them that fail from grace, they're under the law, and the smiting of them at Calvary, and the tail dying in the evening time, bringing in the seven, and the stars fall from heaven, natural heaven, physical heaven, spiritual heaven. But right there, when the Jews went out of the presence of God, it was away from the light, and it showed the casting out as to the third, Jew and the Catholic and Protestant. And a third part fell as the old devil came out. Tail around the third part, the Jews went out. Intellectually, still the death veil there. And the death of the body, in that the body was separated, the feminine from the spirit, the masculine. And then that spirit came into our heart. The head went away as to the resurrection of the new body, because the woman went down after she had travailed. Hanging there is the woman, the Jew, Jesus. Showing it. It's shown in Revelation 12 as to war in heaven. And we have to detail a lot of that for you to be able to get a pictorial picture-like glimpse of that. So when this happened, the woman comes back up in the end, and she is received by God, and it is said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but the adoption or resurrection from the dead? Or that is the woman coming then after her purification, which is also shown by the Jews as in the tribulation period, what has happened from Calvary all the way through the church ages when the seals are opened.
And
we have this so thorough, so wonderfully, abundantly in detail, and yet we can't tell it. Time won't permit.
So what we do, we talk to people in little groups, like a brother today. We happened to catch him by himself and went through many, many things while nobody was around. He was real hungry and real interested in what we were saying, and the Spirit just kept speaking and went through a lot of these things that we're saying tonight in detail that we're not bringing out to you. So what we do, we give a little bit here and a little bit here to make each other their brother's keeper. And they have to come together in this mind to form the body of the Lord Jesus, to find the fullness of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which makes you the body of the bride, Paul the Christ, the revelator in your heart. The day start dawning from glory to glory to the ultimatum of the chain, which brings in the adoption at the time of the Jews. The only thing that's keeping the Lord Jesus from coming back right now is there's a time period as to the church age ending and the last messenger coming forth to bring the revelation, and he'll bring it in a sevenfold until the light is complete and put it all together as to what those seven messengers brought in measure after measure. And then at the end of it, it brings the Jews in, and the adoption of the body, which is the change, has to be by the law, in that the new birth is to the inner man as to the spirit. So our spirit dwells with Christ yonder and will return to pick up the body. It's not necessary for us to die. We've already been through baptism. And this is said in Revelation in the fifth seal. As when the fifth seal was open, and the Bible speaks of this as the souls under the altar, which means the Jewish people that died under the law. They were in Abraham's bosom, which means that they died in the faith of Abraham. And we're right now in a present day truth, or something that's really coming about, even with Father Abraham, as to that that went through the Holocaust, or the Jew that sent the bread over for the Passover, the matzah bread. So when the tree was cut down, it was a great meaning. And I wish we had hours to go into that, to bring it up of all these things that's happening, the moving of the bus, why they run into the trailers, what it has to do with great revelation, and what the tree had to do with, and what Abraham has to do with, and little Bethlehem has to do with. It would take hours, and it's so beautiful, it's so fantastic, it's so wonderful. What can you say? Great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, the much revelation. Pray that God will give you the spirit of revelation as to the dawning of this day star from glory to glory to the change of this body, which brings the body in as to the bride of those that are the elect, which was in the foreknowledge of God. So when God put the blood on the seat of atonement, it was there so that Adam, when he fell, it might keep the elect. When Jesus said to the Jews, ye are of your father the devil, so that's what you are. He was saying that Lucifer hath begotten you through the fall of Adam as to the feminine part. And through Adam all die as to the reproduction, in that Eve is Adam, as to his flesh and bone. The mystery of God is to the man and wife being one, the spirit and the body being one. And he said, and in this ye are of your father the devil. You will do his will, that is to say, because you have the love of the world in you, which is Satan, cast out of heaven, and he's created him a world by the illumination of this thing being heaven, and he's there living in human bodies as the different membership of his body, the third part of the angels, seeking to get out of the dry places, coming into human bodies, and they are subduing human bodies to strengthen Satan's kingdom. As to those personalities overpowering you as a woman, as to the masculine thing, the angels, you are made a little lower than they are. And unless you have Christ as to the great angel, you cannot resist that. So he comes in with his lust, his covetousness, his desire, all of his corruption. He comes into you with the love of the world. He entices you and then takes you to the corruption of that which the president has stooped to. Now, let's stop here for a minute, because there's so many hundreds of things I'd have to say just to finish a little sermonette. But let's stop here for a minute and consider something. The lessons, it had to do with a great thing. We should go through it as to the things it was involved in it, the cars it was involved, the disputer of the body, and what it had to do with. See, and
strangely enough, I believe it might have been the Atlanta Journal, one of the papers, just as we got the Lexus, magnified the Lexus and told of this great, mighty car, this fine car, of the outstanding car. Strangely enough, that happened. Having to do with that thing is the resurrection. Many hundreds of things we'd have to say. And then, strangely enough, the Atlanta Journal, I believe it was, carried the article on Clinton and said that he is the Abraham Lincoln. Or maybe they used the terms Lincoln. But Abraham, I said it because it goes back to the present moment as to these things that are happening. So they said he is the Abraham of the Sodomites, which we had just told one or two this very thing. We said this, we even said it to the audience here, if you remember some things about it, that he was the same as Abraham was to the black man, but he was Abraham to the Sodomites. Because as to black and white naturally showed darkness and light spiritually, and that he was a creature of darkness and of the abase sort. And so they magnified it, which means, again, the confirming of the revelation as in heaven, the spirit, the mind of God, the same in the natural as to the shadow. Like I was telling some brethren the other day, I said, by his grace we dwell in heaven. And I said, being born of the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit as to the best of our ability. Asking God always to give us a pure heart that we may see God, who is a revelation, a spirit, a revelation, the Christ, even as Paul, when he killed out the body, the Christ. And so then in this, looking beyond the veil, not knowing anybody after the flesh, not even the Lord Jesus, which we could say many things of that would be thrilling to your heart, as to your heart burning within you as the Christ opens the scriptures, by the way. And rending that veil, which is your intellectual mind, and bringing forth the mind of Christ as to that tree of life. For my words are spirit and life. Satan's words are death. To be carnally minded as to his mind is death, because it's the love of the world. And the creatures of darkness as to intellectual is not living but dead in trespasses and sin while they live, because that creature as a beast is not subject to the mind of God or to the things of God. Neither indeed can be. Even in your daily deeds, it can't be. You have to die. So there has to be a new body and a new creature. But anyway, as this thing concerning the light and the darkness is just perfect at this moment, even as Abraham and him over here wanting our first offer on the land across the way. We have two parts, and I'm just dropping in a tad tonight just to let you know that there's something there. And it's divided by the road out here to one part as the children going over there in consideration of putting these eight trailers together, and great as to what it has to do with, because it's the Jews' property. Down here next to Woody, which also had to do with that of Brother Branham over here on the other side of the road, the trees being cut down or the tree, and now they're talking about selling that part of that forest over there as wood, about $65,000 they offered them for some of the trees. So it will take away the wilderness at the time of the crossing, 78, called the old serpent of the trail of death, and the tree falling out across there, having to do with the power line and having to do with the tree and the axe laid to the root of the tree. And our people going over to cut down that tree as the old tree of knowledge, in that the veil is over Moses' face. That is to say, Abraham over there sending us to the Passover, or getting over that highway of death coming over here, wanting to connect now this land that they refused to let us have, even as the Jews have refused to let Christ have their body in the understanding, as rejecting the Messiah, which is the Word made flesh as to the book. And therefore they abide in death in their carnal religious reasoning. And Abraham, knowing, looking in this direction, different from Arnold and the others, has great respect for this. And now they're willing to let us have that land over there the way they're talking. As to the third part, that is there in a wilderness. And they're on that side, the old house falling down, dilapidated. And then they are ready to come out of the wilderness. That is to say, is to Abraham, sending the bread over here, the matzah, the Passover, which Betty and I took as to those two corners of one piece. Well, anyway, coming on over here, see, to this, to tie that together to make the three in one proves that the end of the world is right here. If you could hear the many things it has to do with, even the bus that run into the trailers, and I'm just putting a tad of these things because it would take a lot to detail it. When the bus run into the trailer up there, the bus carries Houston, and it run into the doors, and it shows that thing as to Houston, as to the stone, because those, as to those buildings, turning to the school, going over as it would be Jordan to branch off, and then going over there near Woody and going into this other part of the land that we have not used, which the priest wanted to put the ark in that he wanted to make a building over there to sail things, or that is to sail these things of Bethlehem, and he had come into this thing, leaving the priesthood of that, ordaining us a priest as to what he did, and rejecting that and coming to Jesus' name to show the real priesthood, and denying that of Peter and coming to Paul, in that Peter was the thing that said Trinity, let us make three tabernacles. It was said no. Two is to the covering cherub, there's just one blood life, that's of Jesus, as to the New Testament within this body, his law and prophets, it all emanated from him. A lot could be said in detail. But anyway, going over there, which all was symbolic. And when this happened, it was as Houston, the last one leaving Houston, cut out the light. Mr. Bush up, kept the faith, the helicopter, the cross, showing it just a little bit here to Marysville, the birth, and down to Houston. And a woman in the wilderness, and then come into this harlotry thing is the casting out of Lucifer, which is proved to open the bottomless pit as those of the abase that Paul spoke about, which prove before these things even come into view as to him saying about it when he was supposed to be the outstanding charge we told of these things, dividing the nation, corrupting the world. So then we realize that this has actually happened, and that of Abraham over there to get them out of that wilderness. Over here, because it was Abraham who went through the Holocaust and was sitting in my home down here discussing it with me, and I knew I couldn't talk to him about anything but Moses. He would not accept the Messiah. And so I said to him, Abraham, and I began to talk about Moses, and he was so interested in my conversation, we just got into a oneness. And then I got his spirit and his mind, and then I said, Abraham, now can I ask you a question? Said, yes. I said, Moses said, and it shall come to pass that God shall raise up a prophet like unto myself, and whosoever faileth to hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. He listened because it was Moses. I said, now, Abraham, what I would like to ask is, who is that prophet? And he was astounded, he was staggered, he couldn't answer me. I'm sure his mind flashed to Elijah and all the rest, but he couldn't answer me. I said, let me tell you who it was. I said, it was Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it just astounded him. And we become real friends. And today he still lives with that. And as he looked across the way to let us know that he believed in this, that it was said of Abraham, all nations, not just the Jew. So he sent us the Passover to say the tree cut down. And that would have caused death as to the two highways, in that the police knew, the county knew, nobody was doing anything, but they was going to sue the Jews. And we saved them by this as becoming their savior, as our people called them, cut down the tree, saved them the problem, the masa as to the bread. And then after that, that indicated the Lord's Supper, prepare ye victuals, Joshua getting over the Jordan, the carnal reasoning of religion, and then saying, here's our land. What was your offer? See, as to the bodily redemption, bringing them out of the wilderness wandering as Father Abraham. And I said all that to say this, getting back to a biblical thing, and that those things would go on and on as a present day truth. Well, anyway, the stones, the crossing over, the catching up, the opening as to the spheres, shepherd, the place in heaven. And now the door is open in heaven, as we preached the other night. And so the bus running into that, showing that, I'll take out the heart of stone, place within you the heart of flesh, which is the heart of the Lord Jesus. Write my laws upon the table of your heart, and the heart of stone, which was the law of Moses engraved in the stone, will be taken out. The heart of stone that is hard, not your heart, that is against the spiritual things, as they murmured against Moses in the wilderness, cut off, and the Lord swore that they would not enter into his rest, as that place of his rest, which would have been Canaan in the natural, crossing over the carnal mind, or that is getting over your carnal mind. The stone is rolled away, the resurrection being caught up with him. Or when we say that as to the heart of flesh, we are translated into his spirit. We are bone and flesh of his body, and the stone is now rolled away, as the songwriter said. So then we understand these things in part, until that which is perfect is come, as to charity and love in our heart. And it is so wonderful that I have been able to see these things, caught up into heaven, even into the art gallery of the vision, but not allowed to take them out of the light, down into them that were in darkness, because the law would get me. They were priceless paintings as to these pictures, this revelation in part, as it was shown to me. But you can come up into this light with me, walk through the gallery with me, and I can point these things out. So, bringing this thing to a close here as to the thought, because there's so many multiplied things that I have to say, taking my time, if you was hungering and thirsting after the word, and we had the time to do this. And already I can feel, you know, you're getting kind of weary and listening to you get lost in your thoughts, not putting it together and not being spiritual, no strength, and getting sluggish as in your spirit, going to sleep. That is to say, though you're here listening, looking, you're not conceiving of these things. See, because the spirit and the soul is closed up. A few of you are still getting a few things. Well, that's where it's at. You say, well, you can't tell that. You don't know that, Brother Pye. When the babe nurses the breast as to the milk, the mother knows exactly what's happening. And she can tell when the babe is not pulling that milk down. The Bible said it's to the milk of the word. I know exactly, because the very minute that you spark up, just a few of you, and you're hungering and thirsting, it just pulls the milk as you nurse from the breast of El Shaddai. See, and when you get sluggish and like that, it stops. There's nothing there speaking, and I stumble and stagger, because in my intellect, I don't know it, in my intellect, I can't say it, because it's not me speaking, but Christ. And when the Christ, as the babe on the inside of you, draws this milk, it comes to me, through me, as the stimulation called the anointing, or else as it would be preacher, as to come down upon me as the rain on the just and the unjust. And so I can tell exactly where, when, and how long. So then I said all that to bring it to a close here, because I can see that you've already stopped nursing. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall not just get crumbs, but shall be filled the fullness of that heavenly eternal wealth and reward. So then they that hunger and thirst after the world to make money, to have pretty things and the natural things and relaxation and all these things, to get out of church early, to get to the get over to the cafe and all around and to do those things, laugh and talk, whatever. They don't have much. Just what little they can get, and be fortunate if they even make it into heaven, because of this hunger and thirst after the world and not having the spirit of revelation. It is no proof as of yet that they have eternal life. This is why I say belonging to Bethlehem and all these churches, it don't prove nothing. But if you have a pure heart, being pure in heart, ye shall see God, and God is a revelation. He is a spirit, and you can only see him with the eyes of your understanding, as they are enlightened to comprehend the heights, the depth, and the width. And you're intellectual, which means you're not pure in heart. That means you'll never see God, for the wicked shall not see good when it comes. You'll never see God Almighty. Somebody said, well, someday we'll stand before God, and it'll be thus and thus and judged. So there will never be a day like that. The Bible said all the judgment is left up to the Son, which means the bodily perspective. And you could never see God. See, because if God just dawned on you just a little bit, that dawned on Paul with all of his self-righteousness and his learning, he went blind. And the scales had to fall to show, coming out of the natural Jew side, that being among the Jews, the veil was over his face. And he knew then that there had been a veil over the
face of his people, the Jews. And he came into the light to become the Christ, as to receive the revelation. And being a scholar in the natural, God just unveiled it until it became the word of revelation, as to bring in a spiritual people as the Christ to a spiritual person, as would change the body, and that life would be made manifest into the body, the feminine part, which would be the church or the bride. Him being the body is to the head. Well, anyway, we'll just have to stop there. We just had got to Calvary and had brought these things out to where that we could bring you across the Jordan. But about then, you begin to die out on me, and I was going to explain to you why that you can't get across the Jordan, why the Jews could not get across the Jordan, why that the body has not been changed, so that you could understand why. A lot of people say, why this and why that? And they don't know, because they don't give themselves to the Spirit to really find out as to the Spirit of revelation. But it's so brilliant and so bright and so great and mighty as to the T, to let us know when the change will take place, why it hasn't taken place, what it takes to make it take place, and when it's going to happen. Well, anyway, let's everybody stand together. I would say to you that you don't have to stay and listen to Brother Pike. You know, if you feel you can get it by yourself, then go out there and get it. Really get it. And don't get caught at the cafe by the wayside. And don't get perverted in your mind as to the natural things of the world. Don't get enticed and get clear out of the mind of Christ and not get anything from the Spirit, in that you're commanded to meditate in his laws day and night and seek those things that are above, not the infilling of the tummy. The serpent is on his tummy, as we say. So don't do that. If you can do it the other way, that's fine. You'll never find it in a book. You'll never find it in college. You'll never find it except to be revealed to you, because this is higher above your head than the heavens is the earth. And it's hid from intellectual scholars. Revelation unto babes, who are considered babes as to the world, and some that are willing to learn. So the greatness of it is as being willing to learn. Well, anyway, I can see that I'm not getting my point over night after night after night concerning this, but I do tell you this, the change is right at hand. No matter how you look at it, it's there. The revelation of Christ shows it, and it said, we that walk in the Spirit will know that, and with that, we are they that dwell in heaven. And as I was telling some of the brethren the other day, I said, it's like the sun shining, and here's a man walking down the street, and the sun hits him because he walks in the light. I said, and then the other things as to you look at is his shadow, and heaven is the light. See, and it's upon the object, which is to be a child of light, and that which is projected from him is of those that dwell in heaven. It is that down there as to the shadow of these that are in the world. They that abide in the shadow of Almighty shall dwell in the secret places of the Most High. The shadow being the parabolic part of it is the intellectual knowledge and that side of it. So then, being fortunate to the grace of God and to the love of God, the merits of God, and not of my own righteousness, not to be found in my own righteousness, but in the righteousness of God, I walk in the Spirit with God, and I dwell in heaven, and I see all these things in heaven as a daily stride, daily, all connected together in a continuity or in a chain reaction. And then they coincide as running in a parallel, and they coincide, and then I'm looking over here at the natural, because I am a natural man, still numbered with the natural people, haven't made the change in the body, and yet through Christ I have made the change, and I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So being that natural part, I'm watching the shadow and all these things in the daily life as it takes place, governmental ranks or whatever. And then in the Spirit, as being Christ in the Spirit,
not me living, but Christ, Paul said, then I'm watching in heaven, for I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring of all things, and I dwell in heaven. And so then I watch that which is the light as in the heaven, the mind of understanding. And I watch these two things as in heaven, so in the earth. That is the image up here and the shadow down here. And side by side they go. So I watch it all day long, just every day through Christ. I watch it and it continually, as the veil, the shadow over here, as that which is the formula, it expresses the unknown. And I see both of them as they walk along together. And you should be sinning because you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular of his body, having an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things, being eternal, having passed from death unto life and being eternally alive forever, manifesting this life of Christ in your bodies to preserve the woman, to cleanse the woman part as the masculine on the inside, the sons marrying the church as to your inner son, already the Son of God, neither male nor female. And it is redeeming your body. Savior says from this untoward generation. And your spirit is marrying your body, purging your body as to put Satan out of your body, in that in the sight of God, the body's dead, he's cast out. But in that ye are walking with this heavenly treasure within your earthen vessel, is to be made manifest in your mortal gene as to an eradication of your intellectual concept of God, as to this darkness, as to that veil, that you might be covered with the Shekinah, because you cover with a covering, but not of me. You lost that Shekinah covering, and it has been given to the children of God as the inner man, which will rule over the woman as to the outer man. Now we could say a lot right there that we've mentioned about the black widow and whatever, why she's a widow. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. Far we've anchored the soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. So I need thee, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee, and I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. For he has come back to your hearts once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to the Savior and hear that loving voice, and don't turn him away. The altars are open as we sing this little song. Give me a key frame. I don't need no gold or silver, and I don't need no diamond ring. All I need is the love of Jesus unto me. He's everything. So you can have all the gold and silver, and you can have all the pretty things. Just give to me the love of Jesus for me. He's my everything. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the risen. Are the sunshine, I'll be happy, happy in my soul. Sing that with me. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the risen God that has control. The rainbow or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Let's sing this little chorus. We're longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend. He will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Can you sing that with me? So we're longing for Jesus to come back, and I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where rain. Well, I'd like to say happy birthday to Brother Taylor. Today is his birthday. And again, we say his walking in the Spirit, it is so great and mighty that it should be his birthday at this particular time, in this particular month. And as to the significance of it, which is nothing less than astounding with many things that has to do with his birthday today. Folks, the door is just about ready to close in heaven. The opening of the door was as to the church age messengers, as to a light that was to become sevenfold, and so it has. And it is so bright, it is so wonderful, and we are just feeding off of the crumbs. It is so great and so mighty. Great and mighty things are happening. Not in this world. Things in this world are happening to the bad and to the abase even to the falling of the government of the United States, changing over to the foreign country, which has to do, even in a present-day truth, allegorically speaking, as to the shifting of the government and to these things, even as to the transaction of the cars. Whereas somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you're just plain eccentric. You know, like somebody said one time, said, well, Brother Pike, he'd make a revelation out of a horsefly. And as I've said to you before, I said, well, Betty, anybody walking in the Spirit would know there's a revelation concerning the horsefly. And we brought it out. And I thought of the horsefly. I thought, has he ever, or have you ever considered the revelation of the black widow spider? So it is so beautiful. It's so wonderful. Somebody would say, you're crazy. Brother Pike, you're slap out of your mind. It's so wonderful to be out of my mind and having the mind of Christ Jesus. So then Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for Christ Jesus. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, how can that be? As we was telling Brother Pasden yesterday, his life, some of his life is what it had to do with. And Brother Ron received it real well and dropped his head and just shook his head because it just went right through him as to Brother Rob Kuhn. When we was talking to him about Revelation, he said, Brother Pike, it is so refreshing. It's so refreshing having been around all these other places and talking to Brother Taylor about some of his life. Brother Taylor, he just kind of loses his composure and he is thrilled. But I say this, if you will explain to me how that Sarah, who was Abraham's wife, could be New Jerusalem, the mother of us all, then I can explain to you the black widow, why it's like that. How many of you know that Sarah was New Jerusalem, the mother of us all? Someone said, well, you know, you're talking about New Jerusalem? Yeah. How are we going to dwell in Sarah or with Sarah? Is that all there is to New Jerusalem? Well, that shows that you don't understand. But nevertheless, that's what he said. And then he said, Hagar, who is the one that is now here and in bondage with the children. Oh, that is to say, she's old Jerusalem. And if you can figure out how she's old Jerusalem, then I can tell you about the horsefly. So there's really something going on, and great things are taking place in heaven, in the Spirit, the mind of Christ. So then, we have to look and remember parabolically. He spoke to them never without a parable. He spake unto the people. And that Christ is Paul, or Paul is Christ, spake parabolically. And realized the veil was there. The Jews not being able to look steadfastly to that which was abolished as to that light of understanding, because the veil was between them. So, parabolically speaking, Paul knew what those women represented as to their life. And he revealed it to bring out the type. The Jews said, Paul, you know, something's happening to you. And as those great leaders and great rulers said, much learning has made thee mad, Paul. Well, anyway, let's sing another little chorus. Tonight, I just want to remind you that the door's open. As long as that door's open, the candlesticks, as to these messengers from heaven forming that rainbow as to the covenant down through the church ages. My, what revelation there is in that. But anyway, coming to the last one as to the closing of the door, 93, 7 years, these things. Well, anyway, we just better stop right here. Let's sing one or two more choruses. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the scene. Do you know who that angel was? And swear the time will be no more. And in the days of the voice of the last angel, the mystery would be finished. So time, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, for in the fullness of time, no more,
For the angel he'll stand on the sea and on the land, and time shall be no more.
Reminds me of something someone said, that God had spoken to them, and they come to little Bethlehem and said, as to this place shall be the wisdom of Solomon, they said. And it was really great as to what he had said. Whereas the Lord has said, a greater than Solomon is here. And Solomon was only a parabolic expression as to what the Lord again was doing as speaking in parables when the brother came to say this. And the same brother that said Brother Pike would make a revelation out of a horse fly, he was kind of disgusted. But nevertheless, that same brother told someone, said, I had a dream. And singing about this reminds me of it. Said, and I saw even Brother Pike standing with one foot on the land and one foot on the water, catching the people as to souls coming down a stream and setting them over to safety. Now, someone would say, well, what are you trying to say? I'm just telling you what the fellow said he dreamed. That's all I'm trying to say. Someone said, well, why do you tell it now? Because it come to my mind now. And the preparation of the man's heart is from God, that he should bring it to my mind as he does all the other thing, that it has a significance. Parabolically, someone would say, well, I think you're trying to say. It doesn't matter what you think I'm trying to say. I'm saying what I'm thinking. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's just sing the little chorus together. I think the Lord was telling us something. The door is about to close in heaven. When it is closed, there won't be any more light, which means the spiritual understanding and all of these great, wonderful treasures as to the diamonds that's hid in the sands of time. You won't be able to find them anymore. The diamond and the pearl of great price, as to diving so deep, and the deeper, the greater the pearl. You've heard the story of the little pearl that was priceless. Because the man's son gave his life for it. He wouldn't sell it. The little Lexus that we got, it's strange, but the painting as to the covering of the body, going back to the dispute of the body, it's called the pearl and the diamond. The diamond and the pearl. So it has significance. What can you say? If a spider has a significance, surely Alexis would have a significance. Let's sing another little chorus together. And it's called I Will Praise Him. I want to praise Him. You know, it's not just a matter of you praising Him. Do you really want to praise Him? It's not a matter of hearing as to a reflector out of constraint because you come to church and that's all that was brought. You know, it's a matter of wanting to grow in the grace of knowledge. And there has to be some milk from the breast of El Shaddai as to the milk for the babe, to desire the sensual milk of the word that you might grow by thereby. But there also is some meat for the strong. And the Bible said they who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between the good and the evil, or that is the shadow and the light. Then this is where the meat is, and this is the one that gets the meat of the word. And the meat is for the strong. Scientists say that meat makes a person strong. In the last days they'll come forbidding to eat meat, which God has given to be made and received with thanksgiving. Or they will forbid meat to show that there is no meat of the word as to the revelational understanding of the ministry of Christ to the church. And they'll stay so small till they'll dwarf themselves as milk, as not to babes, but as to dwarfed one. A lot of people, older, drink milk, but they say it's not good for you. So you need the meat as to the protein. Can we sing that one more time together?
So I will praise my Lord. I will praise my Lord. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood that's washed away the stain.
One more time.
So
I'm going to ask Brother Gerald Williams to come tonight. We were planning to say something that had to do with a little pyramid and related back to some things concerning Brother Gerald, and that we look at his life also. But we didn't have enough spiritual strength here in the audience to hold on. So we had to do things another way. Lift your hands up. Let's sing this chorus together. As you search yourself and examine yourself to see if you are in the faith tonight, just lift your hands up, lift your head up to heaven. Your redemption is drawing nigh. And as my dad used to sing, we're nearer home than we was yesterday. So I will praise my Lord. I will praise my Lord.